I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And this morning we want to welcome back our brother Michael. It's so good to see you, brother Michael. And also we thank God for the wonderful news we heard concerning Susie's recovery. We thank God that the Lord has granted her full remission. Yes, indeed, the name of the Lord must be praised by His people. Then as we come to the end of the year, let us realize that time passes so very, very quickly. 1 year, another year is gone, right? Didn't I tell you so at the beginning of the year? Yes, it's true. Time passes so very, very quickly. And before we know it, another year is gone. Another year is gone. And then we have to one day give an account to our Lord in regards to what we have done for Him in the course of our life on this earth. So let's keep this in mind as we come to the end of the year and as we enter into the year 2017. My subject this morning is the good news of Christmas. The good news of Christmas. Now, recently, one disease has struck people with great fear is this disease that is caused by the Zika virus. And this disease is spread by the Aedes mosquitoes. Now, this disease is a very, very fearsome disease because it is supposedly able to cause deformity in newborn babies. And babies, mothers stricken with that disease, apparently can give birth to babies that have got abnormally small heads. And because this disease is so fearsome that some athletes, a good number of athletes, in fact, opted not to participate in the Rio Olympic Games that took place a few months ago because this disease was rampantly spread in South America. Then this disease was carried to Singapore, and we read in the news that some 24 people in Singapore or so were afflicted with this disease, including a few pregnant women. Now, how do you think the pregnant women would have felt having been stricken with this disease? I'm sure they must have been stricken with fear, worries, fear. And what would be the best news for them? I guess the best news for them would be on the day of delivery, in the delivery room, after the baby is born, the doctor says to the mother, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings, I bring you good news of great joy. Your baby is absolutely normal." Yes, that's good news. So, friends, so what is good news? Good news, generally speaking, is the removal of fear. Yes, the news that fear has been removed. That is good news. I'd like us to consider this good news of Christmas this morning. On the day Jesus was born, we read this recorded for us in Luke chapter 2, the passage that we read earlier on. Please turn to that passage, Luke chapter 2. I read for you a few verses. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And I read for you from verse 8 to verse 10. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, terrified. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, it was very natural for the shepherds to have trembled when the angel appeared to them. You see, they saw the glory of the Lord. Verse 9 says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, around them." And so they saw the glory of the Lord. It must have been blinding. It must have been very, very shocking to them. It was an encounter with an angelic being. But soon their fear was allayed by this wonderful, assuring announcement made by the angel. They were fearful, but when the angel made this announcement, their fear was allayed. The angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I bring you good news. Yes, good news of great joy, not bad news, not news of judgment, not news of punishment, but rather good news of great joy. And this news is not only for you. This good news is not only for you, not only for the Jews, but to all people. Now let's understand, friends, that fear is something that is very deep-seated. It actually goes back to the time of the early dawn of creation. It goes back to the time of the Garden of Eden. When God completed his creation on the sixth day, what did God say? God said, "It is very good." He said this in Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good, perfectly good. So if it was perfectly good, then there must have been perfect love in the Garden of Eden. Perfect love between Adam and Eve and the one true living God. Yes, there was no fear in the Garden of Eden. Now perhaps there was one fear, but that fear was a good fear. It was a holy fear. It was reverential fear. Yes, it was the kind of fear that our first parents had for the one true living God. They loved the one true living God very, very much, very, very dearly. So much so that they did not want to offend him, they didn't want to hurt him, they didn't want to oppose him. Yes, because they love him very, very dearly. Now that's the kind of fear that we are talking about. But look what happened after our first parents fell, when they succumbed to the temptation of the evil one. The temptation presented by Satan was this: you partake of this fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you will be like God. Now, God had already clearly said to our first parents that that fruit is forbidden to be eaten. Yes, you partake of that fruit, the day you partake of the fruit, you will surely die. But our parents, first parents, disobeyed the one true living God. They actually not only disobeyed the one true living God, but they rebelled against him because they sinned right under his very nose. And therefore, they had rebelled against the one true living God. And so what happened? Their perfect fellowship with God was broken. That love that they had for the one true living God ceased to be perfect, no longer perfect. This fellowship was completely broken. And we read in Genesis chapter 3, I'd like us to turn to Genesis chapter 3, but keep your finger at Luke 2 because we are coming back to those verses, but turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and verse 8, I read for you. And they refer to our first parents, Adam and Eve, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And verse 10, and he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." Adam was afraid. Up till this time, there was no fear of this kind in the hearts of men, in the presence of the one true living God. He had perfect fellowship with God, as we said, and he loved God. But now he was afraid, terrified, because he had sinned against the one true living God. And he knew that the day he sinned against God, he would surely die. Because God had already said so. The day you partake of this fruit, you will surely die. And he died. Spiritually, separated from the one true living God. And eventually, he would have to die physically. And then, if there was no repentance and if God didn't intervene, it would mean that he would die for all eternity, separated from the one true living God. Now, the sad truth is, this sinful nature of Adam, acquired when he sinned, had been passed down to all his descendants, including us. Yes, we have inherited this sinful nature. And because all his descendants are born with this sinful nature, because we have inherited this sinful nature, his descendants sin, and they sin naturally. And God's word says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is true. All have sinned. Yes, all have sinned. And all means all. This means that all have to die. Because his word says, the word that sinneth, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. All shall have to die. His descendants are dead spiritually as of the day they are born. And physically, one day they will die. Yes, so as of the day they are born, they die spiritually, separated from the one true living God. And then eventually they will have to die physically. Now, if there is no death to face, let's say assuming there is no death to face, there's no death. If there is no death to face, then there will be no fear of death. But now, death is inevitable. Because we have inherited this sinful nature, death is inevitable. So if death is inevitable, then there is such a thing as the fear of death. You see, the fear of death arises out of the fact that there is death. So we have the fear of death, because there is such thing as death. Now even great hero of the faith, like Abraham, feared death. Yes, don't think that great heroes of the faith did not fear death. A great hero of the faith, like Abraham, feared death. Not long after he arrived at the promised land, the promised land suffered a famine. And so Abraham decided that he and his household would go to the land of Egypt to look for food. And so he brought his household along with him, including, of course, his wife, Sarah, who was old but very beautiful. All right. And so Abraham told his wife, "You please pass off as my sister. All right, don't acknowledge me as your husband, but pass off as my sister." Now why? Because he was very, very fearful that when he brought his wife into the land of Egypt, the Egyptians may seize her from him. And knowing that he was her husband, they will kill him. And so he told the wife, "Pass off as my sister." Now why did he do that? He did that because he was wanting to save his own skin. He was fearful of death. And then a few hundred years after the time of Abraham, when the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, they came to this place known as Kadesh Barnea, from which place they could easily have gone into the land of promise. And they should have gone in, because God had commanded them to go in, and they should have gone in. But no, they chose not to go in. Why? Because they feared death. Because in their mind, they thought that the land was filled with giants known as Anakims. And they said that if they went in, they would surely be killed by the Anakims. So they refused to go in. Why? Because they were fearful of death. And then now we might think that, well, our famous people, maybe they are not fearful of death. We see people on the silver screens, or we see actors on movies, they all look very brave. They say, surely they are not fearful of death. But friends, famous people are also very fearful of death. I told you about Woody Allen, right? Now, Woody Allen is an American actor, author, filmmaker, comedian, playwright, and musician. You know what he said? I am not afraid of death. Talk big, right? I am not afraid of death. It is just, I don't want to be there when it happens. You see, so was he not fearful of death? He was very fearful of death. Yes, yes. So, but the Lord God be praised. The moment Adam sinned, God put into action his plan of salvation. For what purpose? To destroy death and to save mankind from the sin. And so God made this announcement in the Garden of Eden to Satan. Verse 14, Genesis 3:14. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now listen to this announcement, verse 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." You, Satan, I put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God said he will put enmity between the seed of Satan and the seed of the woman. Now, the seed of Satan refers to all the followers of Satan throughout the ages. These would be people who would oppose the Lord Jesus Christ and who would oppose the followers of Jesus. And the seed of the woman here, of course, refers to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is said, he is the seed of the woman, thus implying that Jesus would be born of a virgin. Yes, his birth will be a virgin birth. And the word of God here says that this seed, which is Christ, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would bruise the head of Satan. He will bruise your head. Now, the meaning of the word bruise here means to crush. He will crush your head. Yes, he will destroy the power of the evil one. He will destroy his dominion. He will destroy his power. And he will destroy the power of this evil one who is the introducer of death into this world. You see, up to the time our first parents fell to the temptation of the evil one, there was no death in this world. So who was the introducer of death? It was Satan who was the introducer of death. And God said this, I will destroy your power, I will destroy your seed. The seed of the woman will destroy your power, he will destroy your dominion. But what could Satan do to the seed of this woman? He could only bruise his heel. What it means is that the human nature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would of course be subject to temptation, would be subject to persecution, and then finally be brought to the cross. Yes, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is God. When he came to this earth, he took on human flesh, he became man, but he didn't stop becoming God. Yeah, he is 100% God, 100% man. And then in his human nature, he would be exposed to temptation, he would be exposed to persecution, and then finally, he was brought to the cross of Calvary where he was crucified. And indeed, Christ came at Christmas time for this very purpose, to be born of the Virgin Mary. And then he lived some 33 years on this earth, and then he went to the cross to die for our sins. And by his death, he destroyed the power of the evil one. And then he conquered death by rising up from the dead. Yes, he didn't remain on the cross, he was buried, and on the third day he rose up from the dead. And therefore, he conquered death. Yes, and he came to give everlasting life to those who believe in him. In other words, those who believe in him now may have everlasting life. Yes, which means they need not fear death. Jesus rose up from the dead, and those who believe in him will rise up with him someday, and therefore they need not fear death. So the good news is that of Christmas is that death has been conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ, who came at Christmas. The good news is, therefore, all those who believe in him need not fear death. And that's the good news of Christmas, right? You believe in him, you need not fear death, because death has been conquered by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, many fears have been removed by this Savior who came at Christmas time. Yes, he's alive today. He's the living Savior, and he is able to meet our every need. And therefore, my dear friends, we need not fear in even the most difficult situations we are in. But friends, although we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we still do fear. You know why we fear? We fear because we do not trust him enough. Now think of some fears that we may have. What are some fears that we may have? Friends, we may fear, for example, losing our health. Why do we fear? We fear because we actually do not trust in the providential care of this living Savior of ours. Now, if we trust him, even if we are sick, my dear friends, we will know that there is a purpose for the Lord allowing us to be sick. Yes, and let's not forget who this Jesus is. Jesus is the Almighty God. Yes, everything is under his control. We read in Isaiah 9:6, which was a prophecy made of this Savior of ours some 700 years before Jesus was born. The prophet Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name is called the Mighty God. You know what that means? What it means is God is in absolute control of everything. And Jesus is this mighty God. He is absolutely in control of everything. So nothing happens by chance in our lives. So if we fall sick, my dear friends, we should be able to say by the grace of God that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Because we know that God has a very, very good purpose to allow us to be sick. Then we fear. And then we might fear that we might not be provided for. For example, we might fear that we would lose our job. But the Lord says, fear not. He says to us in Matthew 6:33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this shall be added unto you. You will be provided for. Fear not. And this assurance, my dear friends, comes from whom? It comes from none other than our Savior, this living Savior of ours who came at Christmas. Yes, and he is the Almighty God. Don't forget that. The Mighty God who is in control of everything. And surely he's able to provide for our every need. Then we fear about the condition of the world. We fear for our security. We hear of terrorist attacks here and there. And then we fear that we might be killed by terrorists. But you know what the Lord says while he was walking on this earth? He said this. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 and 31, I read for you these few verses. He said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Even the hairs on our head are numbered, which means not a single hair falls from our head without the permission of the Heavenly Father. Not a single sparrow falls from the sky without the permission of the Heavenly Father. Does he not care for us? Is his protective care not over us? My dear friends, he cares for us. So the good news of Christmas is this. Jesus came to remove many fears of ours. Chief of all is the fear of death. And that is the good news of Christmas. Next, good news is the news that joy is come upon us. So the angel of the Lord made this announcement to the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem. Verse 10, in Luke chapter 2, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Yes, the good news is joy is come upon us. That is what good news is. And the angel brought good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. That includes us, of course. Now, in the Garden of Eden, after our first parents fell, God had already made this announcement concerning our salvation. He promised that one day a Savior would come. The Savior would come. And you know something? The Jews throughout their history were all looking forward to this Savior. They were looking for their Messiah, their Savior. Yes. And then 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the prophet Isaiah, this announcement was made in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive. This announcement was made 700 years before the event took place by the prophet Isaiah. Yes, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. This God is going to dwell among men. That was the announcement made 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout the history, God will speak to his people, the Jewish people, directly through prophets that he raised up. But then because of their disobedience and because of their rebellion, there was a period in time there when there was absolute silence from the one true living God. You know for how long? 400 years. From the last prophet who prophesied from the prophet Malachi to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a period of about 400 years. Over that period, God was silent. He didn't speak to his people because of their rebellion, because of their disobedience. But now, at long last, at the first Christmas, God was going to speak to his people again. It was good news that he was going to bring through his angel. And so the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The promised Messiah, the Savior, has come. His coming was great joy, because the Savior would save people from their sins. Yes, and the Jews who believe in the one true living God, the God of the Bible, would have known that this Savior of theirs was actually coming to bear their sins. They knew it from Holy Scriptures. I read to you the passage in the book of Isaiah again. This was written some 700 years before the event actually took place. And the Jews knew that the Messiah would come to bear their sins. I read for you. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." He was bruised for our iniquities, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was going to bear their sins. He's going to come to bear our sins. And this was the Messiah that would save them. This was the Messiah who would save them from eternal death. This was the Messiah who was going to come to give them the gift of everlasting life. And this was the joy that the Jewish people were looking forward to, the coming of the Messiah. Now, in the Christmas season of the year 1910, this dreadful disease, diphtheria, swept through the land of Czechoslovakia, killing thousands of people. And this couple, Jano and Susanna Borakova, lost their three children in less than a week. Their oldest daughter, 5, was the first to go. Then as Jano was making the little coffin for her 5-year-old daughter, the last two boys were breathing their last breath. And sadly, all three of them passed away. This couple then lifted the three little coffins into the wagon, rode the wagon to the graveyard and buried their three children. All the houses in those days in that village that had experienced this, the affliction of diphtheria, would be quarantined. And then there would be the letter X marks against the door of each of these houses. Now, of course, the house of Jano also had this letter X. Then Jano himself was stricken with this disease. And as the disease took its toll, yes, he felt that his neck was being strangled by this disease. He could not swallow because it was just too painful to swallow. And he realized that he was going to die. Then Susanna turned to the Bible and read Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, which says, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Then came a sudden knock at the door. An old woman stood at the door, in spite of the fact that the door was marked with the letter X. She was not scared. She came to the door. She held up a little jar of kerosene and said to the wife, Susanna, "Take a clean white linen, wrap it around your finger, dip it into the kerosene, and swab your husband's throat, and then have him swallow a tablespoon of the kerosene. This should cause him to vomit the deadly mucus. Otherwise, he will suffocate. He will die. And I will pray for your family." And then this woman left. Jano followed her instruction, and true enough, he wrenched the deadly flame out on a Christmas morning, and the fever broke. And then he recovered. The woman had actually given this Jano the gift of life. And this couple, Jano and Susanna, then emigrated to America, where they had 8 children. Now, of course, there was no 100% guarantee that this homemade remedy would work, right? If it had worked 100%, the woman would have come with great confidence and said, "The general, don't worry, you just take this. Fear not, just take this remedy, apply it to yourself. You will surely be well, guaranteed 100%. Yes, she would have said that, but there was no guarantee. But friends, you know what's the good news? The good news of Christmas is that this good news that we are talking about at Christmas is 100% good news. 100% good news of great joy. It not only gave joy to the shepherds, not only to the Jews, but to all people. Jesus came to give the gift of everlasting life. Yes, this is 100% good news. Now, how do I know that this is really 100% good news and not something that gives me a false hope? Now, I know that it is really good news because it is true. It is not false. It is true. The babe that was born in the cattle shed in the city of Bethlehem did not remain a babe. Yes, he went to the cross 33 years later, was buried. And what happened? On the third day, he rose up from the dead. You see, he rose up from the dead. And so what this means is all that he said about himself and all that he said concerning his promises must be absolutely, absolutely true. Therefore, the good news of Christmas is 100% good, 100% true. It is really good news of great joy. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." How do I know that this is true? Now, I know that this is true because Jesus rose up from the dead. Yes, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." In other words, he says, "I'm God." Now, how do I know this is true? I know that this is true because he rose up from the dead. Then he said this, "I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I say this is true. Now, how do I know this is true? Because Jesus rose up from the dead. So, my dear friends, the good news of Christmas is this. Jesus came at Christmas to give us everlasting joy, even the everlasting joy of everlasting life. And I know this is true because Jesus rose up from the dead. Do you know it's true? Yes, can you say it's true? All of us must be able to say it is true. We know it's true because Jesus rose up from the dead. Now look at verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, when they had seen the baby, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Who told them the things concerning this child? Who? The angel. Don't forget what the angel said, right? And the saying which was told them concerning this child. Verse 18, "And all they that heard it," in other words, they witnessed, and all those who heard this news given by these shepherds, yes, which they received from the angel, wondered. They were filled with wonder at those things which were told them by the shepherds. My dear friends, they shared the good news. Good news is news that must be shared. We cannot keep the good news to ourselves. And that precisely was what the shepherds did concerning the good news. They did not keep the good news to themselves. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They shared the good news. Now think of Jano and Susanna again. Jano had received the gift of life through this remedy given by this old woman. Now let's say all the neighbors surrounding the home of Jano and Susanna had people who were stricken with diphtheria. Now, let's say that Jano and Susanna, after experiencing this wonderful healing, just kept the secret to themselves. This news was kept to themselves, and they didn't do anything about it. Could that be possible? If you were Jano and Susanna, what would you not do? My dear friends, I think what you would do would be to go out and share this good news with people. Take this remedy, apply it, you will be well. My dear friends, that is exactly what we must do with the good news that we have received. We have heard the good news, we have experienced the effect of the good news that we have believed in. My dear friends, we must share it. How can we keep it to ourselves, friends? If this is true, we cannot keep it to ourselves. How can we keep the gospel to ourselves? Now, it is true. Christmas is a time of festivity. It is a time of holiday making. It is true. Yeah, we all want to celebrate. It's true. But let's not allow the hustle and bustle of our celebration, the hustle and bustle of our feasting, the hustle and bustle of shopping, crowd out the real meaning of Christmas. There are so many people out there who do not know this good news. They have never heard the good news. Or if they have heard this good news, they have never understood what this good news is. But you understand what this good news is. You have received it. My dear friends, you cannot keep it to yourself. You'll be very, very self-centered, my dear friends, if you're not sensitive to this truth, that your loved ones, your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, people out there are in need of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear friends, at this Christmas, let us give them the good news. Let us not keep this good news to ourselves. Jesus came to destroy death. That's the good news. He came to destroy death. And so, by destroying death, he actually enabled us to remove the fear of death from us, among many other fears that we have. Then Jesus came to give us great joy, even the joy of everlasting life. Dear friends, share this good news. This is indeed the news of great joy, the joy of having everlasting life. Let's share it. And friends, last of all, of course, as I said already, let's not keep the good news to ourselves. We must share it. It is our duty to share it. The Lord has given us this great commission to share this good news. And we are expected to be the witnesses that he wants us to be. He said to us, "Be witnesses unto me." And we must be his witnesses. Yes, we have received the good news. Let's share the good news. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have received this good news of Christmas. Father, we thank you that Jesus came to save us from sin. And Father, we thank you that we have received this news and we have believed this news, and indeed we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. And because we have him in our heart, we know that one day, even if we were to pass away from this earth, we need not have to fear, because we will come straight into the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because he rose up from the dead, one day we will also rise up from the dead, even if we are buried in the ground. And Father, we thank you for the joy that we have received from you, even the joy of Christmas, the joy of having everlasting life. And Lord, we pray that we may all understand that you have given us this good news, and that you have made us recipients of this good news for a good purpose, and that is, we are to share this good news with other people. Lord, we pray that we may feel very, very minded, feel very, very burdened to go out to give this good news to others. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.